Hebrews chapter, I think it's number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Yes, 3 verses of Scripture. They're familiar verses of Scripture. But I ran across a nugget. And sometimes these nuggets are kind of hidden. And sometimes, like on Sunday, when we looked at that word untoward, sometimes the nugget is hidden in that original word, in the definition of that word. And that would be the case tonight. In chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse number 14, the Bible said, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." How many's glad tonight you can see? I'm not talking about physical sight now. I'm talking about spiritual sight. How many believes that amazing grace is right when it said, "I once was blind, but now I see"? Amen. Seeing then. You see, the lost person can't see this. But you and I, this is addressed to God's people. "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." In another text, the Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. "Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." I'm not doing an injustice to the Bible at all. You could say this, you could word it this way. I'm not changing the Bible. But it means we do have a high priest that you can touch. Amen. When it's a double negative, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It's telling us we do have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Then this is very important, this little phrase, "yet without sin." There, every one of us can say we've been tempted. There's not a one of us can say we're without sin. Amen? And so tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then in verse 16 he said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." The nugget tonight, and then I'll pray, talk to this great high priest for just a moment. But the nugget tonight, and we'll get to this in the latter part of the message, this grace to help in a time of need. If you look it up in the Greek language, what it means is well-timed help. Well-timed help. You know, the Word of God said over there in the book of Psalms that Jesus is a very present help in a time of need. But how many knows tonight and understands that His help is timely? He's always on time. We're going to look at some examples in the Scripture where the Lord, and we're not going to look at all of them, certainly, but we're going to look at some times in the Bible when God's help was well-timed, even when men may have thought the timing was off. But God is looking at it from a different perspective than men are. He's not on our schedule. We're on His. Amen? And thank the Lord for that. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's a wonderful joy to be able to stand here tonight with an open Bible, an open mind, and an open heart, asking you, God, to speak to us tonight. Father, I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture. Lord, for all the Bible, Lord, it just seems like as you lead us along from day to day, Lord, you're teaching us from the Word of God. And Lord, I just ask you tonight, Lord, you knew before the foundation of the world tonight who would be in this service. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that needs to experience that well-timed help even this evening. I thank you, Father, that you are a very present help in a time of need. God, that you know what we need even before we ask. Lord, we didn't have to tell you that the church at Steel Creek needs a pastor. We didn't have to tell you the church at Calvary needs a pastor. We didn't have to, Lord, tell you tonight that Brother Brian and many others need a touch. You already knew those things. But, Lord, you wanted us to ask. And, Lord, we've come humbly tonight just asking you, Father, to meet the needs of your precious children. And God, we ask you tonight now that you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us, Lord. And, God, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at three things tonight in this little portion of Scripture, and may not be before you too long. I told Sister Kim a while ago, I said, I'm going to do something I've never done before in my life. She said, what's that, Pastor? I said, I'm going to preach in tennis shoes. The kids got me some tennis shoes for Father's Day. I feel like I'm walking on a cloud. Sister Kim said, well, you think you'll preach longer or shorter? I said, I can't answer that, sis. Amen. I guess she was wanting to be able to tell Brother Brian whether I'd be average or above average or below average. I remember him bringing that out in a Sunday school lesson. Could be like the one fella that got up and he tried out for the church. You all may have heard this. And he tried out for the church and he preached 30 minutes and quit. 30 minutes and quit. 30 minutes and quit. I mean, 30 minutes, he was done right on time. And they voted him in. And the first Sunday come after they voted him in, he preached for 2.5 hours. They asked him, said, what in the world happened? He said, well, the only way I can explain it is I put my wife's teeth in this morning. Y'all like that, don't you? Amen. Some of you liked it. Some of you about ready to eat me right now. Amen. I don't know. We blame that on the women. My wife says to me sometimes, we get to stand around men a jawing, and she says, and you talk about the women talking all the time. Amen. But it's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. Let's get on into the Bible tonight, into the Scripture. The first thing I want you to see in the text is our possession. And this is kind of an odd way to say this, but it's what the Bible said. It said in these first words here, seeing then that, what's those next two words? We have. You know something tonight? That we is God's people. And we have something this world don't know anything about. We have a possession. You say, preacher, what do we possess in this text? Well, there's a lot of things, but what the Bible's talking about in the context is we have a great high priest. Hallelujah. Somebody that understands us. Somebody that knows us. I like this. Somebody that knows us and loves us anyway. Somebody that knows us and wants to help us. He said, it's our priest. We have a great priest. We have a high priest. We have a touchable priest. A priest that we can touch, that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And then we have a pure priest tonight. The Bible said, yet without sin. You know, I believe it's a mistake. There's nothing wrong with intercessory prayer. The Bible teaches that we ought to intercede one for another. We ought to pray one for another. The songwriter, Brother, goodness gracious, my mind just went blank. Wait just a minute, I'll get it. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. Brother Fred used to like that song, I Need the Prayers of Those I Love. Amen. And that's an old song, but it's still true today. We need to intercede one for another. But, listen, we all are going to the same great high priest. Amen. I'm not your priest. You're not my priest. We can make intercession one for another. But it's all going to the same priesthood. It's all going to the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. There's times when we don't know what to pray. Times when we don't know how to pray. Times when we don't even know that we should be praying. Amen. But thank God he is always praying. He's always making intercession for his children. So our possession, well-timed help, we have something the world knows nothing about. We have a great high priest. You know, in Jesus' day when they crucified him there were the high priest in Israel. And they thought they were something. They thought they had power. But beloved, listen, they know nothing of the power that this high priest has. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're grateful for that. Now, not only as we look at the message tonight and we see our possession, but the next thing I want to call to your attention is our profession. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 14. He said, seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, we have an anchor that both sure and steadfast, an anchor of the soul. Down here, it gets rough sometimes, and the waves of trouble and the waves come up against us. But the Word of God said our profession is something that shouldn't be wavering from one day to the next. Our profession is not something that should be up and down and in and out. Our profession ought to be settled and grounded, not in earth and not in earthly things, but in Him, in our great high priest. He said, let us hold fast our profession. We obtained our profession by faith. That's why we call it a profession of faith. But listen to me tonight. We know that everyone that professes the Savior does not possess the Savior. We know that. We know that. And the reason we know that is because it's taught in the Bible. If you go to 1 John, the Bible said they went out from us. They were not all of us. Therefore, they went out from us because they were not all of us. We know that when you profess faith in Christ and you possess faith in Christ, that it'll change your life. That's what the Bible teaches. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This profession is obtained by faith. The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is what Paul is telling that young preacher, Timothy. He's telling him, listen, not only is it important that the profession is obtained by faith, but it's important that you hold fast that profession of faith. You know, I had Amelia in my lap today, and she's 3 months old now, and she's at that age where she's beginning to respond to Papa a little bit. The best way I know how to put it is she'll cackle. I mean, tell you, she'll just get tickled and cackle, and I'll talk to her, and it's almost like she's trying to tell me something. You know, listen, it's important that Papa be there at 3 months old. What about 3 years old? What about 13 years old? What about 23 years old? How many believes it's important, amen, that Papa hold fast that profession of faith? Stay by the stuff. That's what God wants us all to do, is to stay by the stuff. It's obtained by faith, but it's to be held fast. Listen to what Hebrews 3:1 said. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, listen, we can hold fast, not so much because of us, but because of Him. He's the one that never changes. He's the one that's never different. He's the one that's always constant and the one where we can anchor our faith. So we see in the text our possession. We have a high priest. Our profession, the profession of faith, it's to be held fast. But what I really want to get to tonight is our provision in the text. If you look down here in verse number 16, the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let me just say something tonight as I get into this last verse here. Jesus, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. I want you to notice what they did not say to Jesus. They didn't say to Jesus, teach us how to pray. They said, teach us to pray. And I believe tonight that one of the things that God's people need to understand, pastor included, is that we need to pray. Amen. We don't, how many knows that the devil will fight prayer? I'm going to give you some things tonight, that, some areas that the devil, every one of these areas that I'll give you, the devil will fight in it. He doesn't want you to get along with God. He doesn't want you to talk to your Father. He doesn't want you to reveal your heart. He wants you to be so tied up in this world and the things of this world that you don't have time for him, you don't have time for your family, you don't have time for others. That's what the devil wants, amen? But we have a Father in heaven, and at his right hand, a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would love to hear from you and love to hear from me, even though he already knows what we need. If you remember your children when they ask you for something, or you remember your grandchildren when they ask you for something, it's just a joy if you're able to be able to do that for them, and it is for the Lord as well. Let's look at the verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let me give you five things right here that he's provided. Then we're going to look at this well-timed help. Number one, he provided us a people. You say, preacher, where do you see that in the word us? Let us. Not let me, not let you, but let us. You say, preacher, I don't understand the importance of that. Listen to me. God has a church, and God wants the church together. I believe, remember we studied a little bit Sunday in the book of Acts. Where did all that movement of God come from? I tell you where it come from. It come out of an upper room. It come out of a people that got together in prayer, in one mind, in one accord. And God poured the Holy Ghost out on them. Amen. And I tell you, that worked then, it'll work today. Amen. God, listen, he's provided a people. I think a lot of people don't understand that the church, listen, it's a gift to God's people. We don't have to go alone. We don't have to, my friend, bear it alone. We can bear one another's burdens. And it's a gift to God's people to have the church that he's given us. Amen. I'm not just talking about Bible way. I'm talking about born again believers, amen, across the globe. Brother Brooks is down there passing out Bibles, teenagers grinning from ear to ear, holding their Bible up high in the pictures, and the churches are being stamped. So when that young and beloved decides they want to hear more about this Bible, they've got a stamp on the inside that tells them where that church is located, and they can go hear the gospel. And I believe many of them will be saved, don't you? God's not putting those thousands of Bibles in those hands null and void. His word will not return void. But you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Brother Brooks is excited. We're excited because God has made us all part of his church. Amen. He provided us a people. Let us. He provided us a place. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. To the throne of grace. A place. That place is probably neglected today more than any other place in the universe. The throne of grace. Amen. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Let me ask this. When's the last time we prayed an hour? When's the last time we got in a secret place? How many knows, beloved, listen, how many's got a mind? How many's got one then? You got a mind. How many knows that you determine you're going to pray? And beloved, everything under the sun will come through your mind. You'll start thinking about things you didn't do yesterday, things you got to do tomorrow, things you got to do today. How many knows I'm telling it right? Because the devil knows if God's people get in that place with him, there'll be power come out of that place. We need to understand that God has given us a people, but God has given us a place. He's provided us a place, the throne of grace. If you could think about this tonight, you say, preacher, I don't know why God would magnify this place. Well, I'm just going to tell you,
because it's where we meet him. You remember how many loves to study about Abraham? He was Abram. Brother Mays Jackson said he started tithing. God gave him some ham. Amen. Brother Jack would like that, wouldn't he? Amen. And he was Abram, and God called him Abraham. And everywhere he went, what did he do? He built an altar unto the Lord. He was just a stranger down here. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But there was one thing that he just couldn't leave off in his life. And that was a place to meet God. An altar where he could bow his head, bow his heart to the Lord up above. Amen. He provided us a place. And then he provided us a pardon. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said right here, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I mean, he's glad tonight he provided a pardon. Amen. Guilty. That's what you and I were. And by the way, beloved, we couldn't even make it one day. I'm not going to fuss tonight, but beloved, listen. If you had to live it, somebody help me tonight. We couldn't make it a day, amen, without the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. We pronounce guilty before the sun goes down tonight. Thank God tonight for a pardon. Thank God tonight for mercy. Thank God tonight for his grace. He's given us that tonight. He provided us a pardon. I like what one preacher said. When justice called, mercy answered. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you and I did not get what we deserved when we came to Jesus. He could have hit us in the head, sent us to hell, and we'd have deserved every bit of it. And aren't you glad when we did like that publican and humbled our heart and maybe smote our breast, the publican did, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Aren't you glad? Thank God there was a pardon waiting for you and waiting for me. Beloved friend, it's a blessing. Obtain mercy. Listen, not only is it a blessing. Listen to me just a minute. How many understands that as a child of God, you didn't need mercy only when you got saved? Somebody help me tonight. How many's needed some mercy? Brother Cole, have you ever needed some mercy? I tell you, I hope you're not that much like me, but I need a bunch of it. Amen. Because this old stinking, rotten world, this old stinking, rotten flesh, it still gets sideways on God. Somebody say amen. And you say, preacher, I never get sideways. Let me ask you something. What about 20 years? Jesus made it pretty plain. You can get sideways just 20 years. You don't even have to do anything wrong. Beloved, you can think things you shouldn't think. And you're sideways with God and standing in need of his mercy. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight? He provided a pardon. We can obtain mercy. What's this now? He provided us a peace. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? Well, how many knows tonight when you find grace to help? How many's ever went looking for grace? How many found it? I'll tell you how you can tell right quick, Brother Larry, you found it. There'll be a peace come over you. You just can't miss it. Amen. You say, preacher, describe it. I can't, but if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It's kind of like a load being lifted. It's kind of like backing up and saying it'll be all right now. Amen. Regardless of what the situation is, he provided a peace. And then he provides us a promise. This is where I want to get to in the message tonight. Yeah. Don't y'all be talking to Sister Kim about my tennis shoes. Amen. All right. This is what I wanted to get to, the time of need. He provided for us a promise. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know. I have no idea what I'll face before I leave this world. But I can tell you somebody that'll be there. He said, you'll find grace to help in a time of need. I texted with Sister Kay Boggs. Her son is the young man that I used to pastor. and Wise, and he's back at Duke now, and he's battling the leukemia, and they may have to do another stem cell, a bone marrow transplant, and everything just up in the air, so to speak. He's a young man. And she said, at least I know he'll go with me all the way. And I texted her back and I said, yep, except if you get on a plane. Because Jesus said, lo, I'm with you. She texted me back and said, very funny. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's people have no idea what we'll face. But isn't it good to know we'll not face it alone? There is what the Bible said here, a promise, grace to help in a time of need. I believe tonight with all of my heart that this help is well-timed help. God doesn't come early. He doesn't come late. He comes right on time. I'll give you a couple examples tonight and I'll close. Number one, the example I thought about was Joseph in the Word of God. Joseph's down in the prison. Joseph has been falsely accused. You have the butler and the baker. Which one of them got killed? The baker got killed, didn't he? And the butler was supposed to tell, or was it vice versa? I think I'm right on that, but I'm going on memory. But anyway, when the butler was released, he was supposed to tell Pharaoh about Joseph, and then Pharaoh has a dream later, and Pharaoh, his magicians can't help him, amen. And so anyway, the butler said, I remember this day my faults, and he told the Pharaoh about Joseph down in the prison. And there's I think if you study it out, about 2 years where Joseph's in the prison. You say, preacher, this looks like God would have come before 2 years. How many's ever felt like in your life it looks like he would have come before now? Looked like he would have showed up. But you know what God does? He's the present help, but he's a timely help in the time of need. And so Joseph gets out, and Joseph, of course, is exalted. He to the second in command in Egypt. God is going to spare a nation because of what he's doing in Joseph's life, even in the prison and now in the palace. I'm just trying to tell you tonight that God's on time. Not only is God going to spare a nation, but God's going to spare a family. There's a family that's been torn apart by jealousy. Say amen. They were jealous of Joseph. Daddy's made him his coat of many colors, and they lied to Daddy and said a beast has torn him apart. And they dipped his coat in the blood and all that, sold him into slavery. And I tell you, God's not just going to save a nation, but God's going to put a family back together. Amen. God's going to let Joseph, right on time, well-timed help, meet his brethren, and his brethren didn't even recognize him, but he recognized them. I tell you, there was a day when I didn't recognize him. But hallelujah, there's never been a day when he didn't recognize me and know who I was and what I needed. Amen. Hallelujah. Right on time. You see that reconciliation take place. Joseph, I tell you, the love he has in his heart. He has to go kind of out of sight and weep. His brethren are standing there. And then he wants to be reunited and reconciled. Even when their daddy died, there was still a fear in his brethren's heart that Joseph would get even with them, so to speak. He said, boys, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. I tell you, he said, listen, they got ready to bury Joseph. And Joseph said, I'll tell you something. He said, God's going to take you up out of this place. And when he does, I want you to, my friend, take my bones with you. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, Joseph is a fine example in the Bible. It was not just grace to help in a time of need, but it was well-timed grace in his time of need. Israel, when they waited to be delivered from Egypt's bondage, 40 years, You say, preacher, it looks like God would have showed up before 40 years. I'm going to tell you something right now. God knows what he's doing. There are people in this congregation tonight battling different things, different ailments, different pains in their body. I tell you, it might be just like Paul. It might be, beloved, that God would remove it, and it might be that God would just give grace. Grace is sufficient. He told Paul, he said, I'm not going to take the thorn, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I'm telling you, in Israel, there come a day when God heard their cry and God delivered them out of Egypt. Moses had to wait. It was well-timed grace. He waited through all the 10 plagues. He could have, my friend, he could have had it made in Egypt. He could have, my friend, the word of God said, enjoyed the pleasures of sin. But he wouldn't be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Because he wasn't the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wasn't willing to give it up. He wanted to be identified with the God of heaven and the people of God. He had to wait. And in that well-timed grace, God delivered him through those plagues. Joshua and Caleb, think about this. No fault of their own. Beloved, listen to me. It is a mistake, a bad mistake, when something happens in the lives of one of God's people and other people are standing around trying to figure out why it's happening. I said that's a bad mistake. Beloved, there's such a thing as a curse of sin, and we're all living under it. Are you listening to me? We're all going to die one of these days. Amen. Life is but a vapor. We're here for a little while and then it vanishes away. Joshua and Caleb, no fault of their own. They believed God, but they're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. While all of those 20 years old and above are dying all around them, they're going to keep living. Why? Because they're going into the promised land. Moses got to look, Joshua and Caleb got to go into the promised land, amen. That well-timed grace. You say, preacher, 40 years don't seem like a good time to me. I'll tell you what I believe. When we get to heaven, one of the reasons we're going to shout is because then we'll understand. We'll understand what God was doing in God's time and in God's way, things that we don't understand today. The question marks, beloved, will be gone. David, you know, God has given David the kingdom. Y'all know that. Saul is jealous. Saul is hunting him like a dog. But David had to wait on the kingdom. He had to wait on the throne. And I'll tell you, you can ask David today, was it worth waiting for? How many know some things are just worth waiting for? Amen. Well-timed grace was on its way. Then the last example tonight, and I'm done. You all know this, the story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. I mean, listen, it wasn't just grace to help, but it was well-timed grace. It was timed in such a way that God would get maximum glory. Jesus knew, I'm going to hang around here. And then he finally said, Lazarus is dead. He spoke to them plainly. They didn't understand when he said he's asleep. They thought, well, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. But he finally said, Lazarus is dead. And he said, I'm glad for your sakes. Beloved, there's a lot of things we're going to find out in eternity. It wasn't for God's sake, it was for our sake. He was helping us, amen, in that well-timed grace. Surely by this time he stinketh, they said. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I just say this tonight. I don't know why Jesus don't just come on. Say amen. Amen. John saw Jesus, the glorified Christ. He saw the church. He saw the tribulation. He saw the marriage supper. He saw the great white throne. He saw the devil locked up and put in the abyss. He saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. And they get done with the book and John said, even so come. Lord Jesus, I tell you tonight, I believe you spend some time around his throne. You'll want him to come too. Amen. I don't know why I don't just come on, but I do know this. He'll be on time. It'll be well timed. the grace of God. Amen. I was watching the news the other day. I tell you, sometimes I'm encouraged. Most of the time I'm discouraged. But I know this, in God's time. Beloved, listen. America's greatest need is not a health care plan. I hope they can get something done. It's not sustainable the way it is. I hope they can get something done in tax reform. I really do. But that's not America's greatest need. I believe America's greatest need is a need to see Him who is invisible. A need to see that there's a God above us, and that we're not going to answer to a president or to a Congress or to a bunch of people back in our state. We're going to answer to the God of heaven one day after a while. Amen. And I pray the Lord will help us, that well-timed grace, to understand that Jesus is on time every time. He's never late. He's on time. Yet a little while, the Bible said, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. How many's glad of that tonight? You know what saddens my heart tonight is just the people that I know, and I don't know a lot of people, but the people that I know that aren't ready. It's sad. It's sad. A lot of people aren't ready. How we need to be before the... How many's glad somebody prayed for you? I'm glad somebody prayed for me. I'm glad when my hair was down on my shoulders and I didn't have time for church. I didn't have time for a Bible. I didn't have time for the things of God. I'm glad somebody didn't see me for just what I was, but they saw me for what I could be with the Lord got a hold of me. Amen. Thank God that He did. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. How many's glad to be a part of this people that have access into the holiest of all? He said, preacher, how come we're welcome up there? I'll tell you why. It's because one day Jesus died. I won't be dogmatic about this, but He told Mary, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. I'll tell you what this preacher believes. I believe He carried the blood, sprinkled the mercy seed, and now He can have mercy on everyone that'll call on Him, believe on Him. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. Father, thank You tonight for You people, for Your grace. Thank You, God, that even though sometimes we think You're late, Lord, sometimes we wonder where You are. God, I'm so glad tonight that You're real. I'm so glad Your word is real. Lord, help us not to faint. You said, Lord, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Lord, Brother Brian's going through a lot. I pray for strength for him. Sister Kim, Lord, help him. Help him just to press on. Encourage him. Strengthen him. And Lord, I know that they could even right now say that Your grace has been so timely, time and time again. Just continue, our Father, to help them. Please, we pray. Help us all now, Lord. Those that will be going through surgery. Those, Lord, tonight that will be going through treatments. Those, Lord, tonight in the nursing homes. God, I ask You to bless them and be with them. And God will give You glory.